5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell. We are inside the cozy Quicken Loan Studios right here in Houston, Texas, and our postseason coverage, it is underway. It's time now to break down and preview some of the bowl games. It's always a pleasure to have back with us from 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, OU Insider, the great James Hale, who is joining us on our Stewart Cadillac guest line, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season. There's no off-season at SCORE, at SCORE.com. Merry Christmas, James. I know Santa was really good to you.
Well, thank you, E, and he really, really was. He blessed me with my grandchildren here, and in my, my daughter-in-law is getting healthy after the accident, and and so everybody's doing okay, and everybody's doing well, and that's the greatest blessing I can have. And as soon as I get that Christmas card from you, dressed in your Santa suit that you used to send out, then everything would be great. So I haven't got that card yet, so I'm waiting for you to send that to me.
Oh, I'm running a little bit behind. You know, all these mommy duties and radio duties, it's got my schedule a little bit crazy.
That was a very sexy card, so, I want to get that card.
Oh, my gosh, James, you're making me blush. I look like Santa's suit right now. So let's quickly move ahead. Okay, so let's preview Oklahoma and the Russell Athletic Bowl that is scheduled for Monday the 29th in Orlando, Florida. I'm assuming you're going to go, right?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't missed a bowl game, and I don't know how long. I haven't missed a road game, and I don't know how long. I mean, the years kind of run together, but hey, I'm glad the good Lord still gives me the health and the energy to go. And you bet, I'm going. And even though this game is not high on the national scale, it's one of the better games. It's one of the better matchups in college football. Sooners coming off a low note when they lost to Oklahoma State the way they did. And, of course, Clemson, I think they've won 8 straight coming into this game. And there's some tremendous irony in this game that Brent Venables is the defensive coordinator at Clemson.
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't win the Broyles Award this year. His defense is number one, and he did a great job. Brent loves OU, and his heart will always be in OU. And even though he's developing, his heart's getting doubled up because he loves Clemson too. He's always got great thoughts about Oklahoma. And, of course, you got the Stoops brothers. You have Bob as the head coach still, and Mike's back in the program now and running the defense here. And those three guys love each other like they're all brothers. They had basically adopted Brent, even though Brent has his own brothers. He had two families full of brothers, and his toughest decision up to this point has been leaving Oklahoma to go to Clemson. And I find it ironic, at the time that he left, Oklahoma's defense had not been playing at the level it played at early during the Stoops era. He goes to Clemson, and it took him about a year to get it together, but all of a sudden he's got the number one defense. What's the one common denominator, E? It's going to be players. When he was at Oklahoma, he had greats like Tommy Harris, Rocky Kalmus, Teddy Lehman, Roy Williams, Brandon Everidge, Derek Strait, Andre Wolfolk, Dusty Dvorak. I mean, just go on and on. And he had those kind of players. And so when he and Mike was running that defense that won the national title in 2000, was one of the best defenses in 2001, 2, and 3, he had all those kind of players. So what happens when he goes to Clemson? He's got Beasley. He's got, his middle linebacker, who's a great player. All of a sudden, he's got guys that are talked about in top 10 of the draft. So all of a sudden, your stuff works. And so I think we all need to learn a lesson here that it's the Jimmies and the Joes, not the X's and O's that the great Barry Switzer always said, that really makes your offense and defense hum.
The senior writer with OU Insider and 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, James Hale, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Oklahoma 8-4, 4-1 at home. Clemson 9-3, unblemished record, 7-0 at home. How do you see this game playing out, James?
Well, Trevor Knight is back, and he's looked good at practice. We know the magic that he had against Alabama in the bowl game, and maybe he does pretty well when he has an extra week or so. You know, but he had some extra weeks with three off weeks this year, and you know, Trevor in the passing game just has not clicked as well as the running game has. But Oklahoma still scored 30 points in every game but one. But what's really hurt this offense is the key mistakes that they've made at inopportune times. Now they go against the number one defense in the country, and so this is an interesting matchup. On the other side of the ball, Cliff Stout takes over, and he's played some this year, but he got beat out by Watkins, and so. You know, they go with the other guy, and but they've got two freshmen on that offensive unit that are really, really good. So, you know, it's interesting because if Oklahoma moves the ball and gets Clemson on their heels defensively at all, and if Clemson can't put great pressure, because Clemson probably is the best team this year in college football at changing the line of scrimmage. And when your defense lives in the line of scrimmage, and that's why Oklahoma's defense hasn't fired as well. They're pretty good at that this year. We just thought they would be better.
Yeah.
And they haven't always changed the line of scrimmage. Stryker and Geno Gresham's now out. Devontae Bond's a good player. He'll fill in at that spot. You know, so I think that's going to be interesting. Can Oklahoma's really good offensive line that, you know, was able to, you know, get Samaje Perine, that great single-game performance, the best in history of NCAA, and for the most part keep their quarterbacks healthy, and for the most part, you know, Oklahoma's averaging 6 yards a rush this year. So can they do that against Clemson? And that's worth the price of admission there. If you're paying $100 to get a ticket, it's going to be worth it to watch Oklahoma's offensive line against Clemson's defensive line. And so I think that's kind of the matchup. I mean, Clemson's front seven against Oklahoma's front. And then on defense, you know, can Oklahoma come up with something that really works to keep Clemson kind of, you know, shackled and not running up and down the field on them? Julian Wilson will miss this game. He separated his shoulder 2 days ago in practice. Just about everybody else, though, I think is ready to go and healthy. And so I think this is one of the, you know, best matchups on the board, even though it's not going to be a game that I think a lot of people will talk about nationally.
What kind of production are you anticipating you will see out of Trevor Knight, talking about he was cleared to play after missing 3 games with that neck injury?
I think Trevor's pretty good. Again, if he doesn't make the key mistakes, and that's his albatross right now, he's got to cut that out. I mean, you can't keep making pick sixes that get returned for touchdowns or, you know, to the 1 yard line in key games and expect your team to overcome it in those key games. And that's been Oklahoma's knock this year. They haven't quite been good enough to overcome it. Then you have your great field goal kicker that doesn't make kicks when you really thought he needed to make a kick. You know, Kansas State's a perfect example. That's a chip shot. And he doesn't make it, so Michael Keeling needs to get on key, you know. So, but Trevor's really talented. Here's what I can't answer for you. I can't answer for you whether or not OU is going to turn him loose and let him be Trevor Knight and run and do all those things coming off the injury that he had. And I think that's handicapped OU's offense this year when they haven't been able to turn their quarterback loose in the run game. They also had to not necessarily turn Cody Thomas loose, too. He proved that he could run it pretty well, but they didn't have a real backup for him unless they wanted to burn the red shirt of Justice Hansen, and they did not want to do that. So they basically told, you know, Cody, manage the game, but don't make any plays with your feet, and that's what he did. And, you know, and so will they turn him loose if you have a healthy Cody Thomas behind him, even though he's coming off an injury that early in it, or at least at some point, they thought, you know, might end his career. But instead, he's back out there. He looks fantastic. He's got fresh legs, and he's running around. It's like a young colt out there, man. And he looks good. And so what Oklahoma hopes is they strike lightning in a bottle, 2 straight bowl games, and he has another Alabama-type game.
James Hale with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined talking some more bowl games with James Hale right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The conversation continues. We are zeroing in on the Oklahoma Sooners as they get set for the big matchup against Clemson. And I got to ask you this. I mean, James, we talked about this last time you were on the show. Just tell Oklahoma how disappointing of a season they've had and how they have underachieved. What is, give us the pulse, I mean, what is the state of Oklahoma football right now?
Well, it's a little, there's a lot of question marks, I think. With the fans, and that's, you know, not necessarily with the program itself. I mean, I think the football team understands they lost three games they should have won. They lost, you know, by a total of, 8 points in two of those games. If just routine things happen, I'm talking routine things happens, you know, they win the game. You know, Bob's fallen on the sword a couple of times about his decision to kick to Tyreek Hill. Now we find out that he had Jay Boulware, a special team coach, telling him, don't kick it again, coach. And yet that's the head coach's prerogative to, you know, go with his own gut and instincts, and he did. And he's now, you know, said two or three different times he's regretted that. He's made so many good calls, E, that he's, to me, it's okay if he makes one or two bad ones. And that's just kind of how I look at it. Not every coach is perfect batting 100%. And if his team covers it correctly, they don't worry about it. You know, I mean, it's been a great punt coverage unit all year, and they waited to the worst time to have their worst coverage of the year. So I think a lot of fans question, you know, where's the program headed? You know, they've kind of been in this trend where they lose two or three games a year, and they lose a key game and a key conference game that keeps them out of the big dance. And so I think people are wondering, can Bob and this staff get the program back to the elite level? I'm one of those that thinks that he can. I still see a competitive Bob Stoops, a guy that gets mad when they don't do well and things. I think his staff is busting it on the recruiting trail. I think they're good coaches. So I think the state of the program is, a lot of fans want to see him do better, but I know the coaches do too. Now, if Joe Mixon returns to action next year or is allowed to play next year, Frank Shannon is allowed to come back next year, and I think both those things are going to happen. And then Rodney Anderson, who's, I'm sure your fans have seen him play at Katy, Texas. Mm-hmm. This guy is a prolific running back. He's coming into the fold. You got weapons galore offensively next year, especially if Doriel Green Beckham comes back. They've just recruited the number one JUCO receiver in the country in D.D. Westbrook. So all of a sudden that offense looks a lot different, especially with Baker Mayfield battling for that quarterback job as well, along with Justice Hansen. So whoever emerges as the guys that's going to play offensively, if they can revamp the offensive line, and that's always a major key, they'll be good next year.
Hey, the senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We definitely got him on for two segments because I always love to pick his brain. James, I've just got to ask you this. I mean, when that job came open at Florida, were you concerned at all that that might perhaps be intriguing?
You know what? I've been one of the reporters that's been right every time about Bob. And everybody else always throws it out there that they think it's time he'll leave and he'll look at this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bob is a creature of habit, and I think he likes stability. And he's got great stability here at OU with President David Boren as the president and Joe Castiglione as the director of athletics. They're all on the same page. And, I think President Boren and Joe aren't afraid to tell Bob sometimes, hey, we don't think this is going well, and I think Bob is man enough to try to correct it. So when all these other jobs come open, that would mean Bob has to uproot his family. I think his daughter's a senior in high school now, but the twins,
right.
I think they're in 10th grade. They might be a freshman. But when all these jobs came up early in his career, he didn't want to uproot them and take them somewhere, especially because he already had an elite job. He said it many times. I'm at Oklahoma, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
And I know everybody thinks their program is the best, but really, when you really analyze college football, Oklahoma's one of the top five jobs in the country. As long as the administration, the fans stay behind it, and they've got a $500 million facility project on the agenda in the next couple of years, so they're going to keep up with the Joneses in that area. So, no, I've never been concerned with him leaving. I think when he retires, he'll go to Florida. I think he still has a beach house down there, in fact. You know, so, but I don't think he's going to do it until he retires. And I used to think that he wouldn't be in this game a long time, but if he coaches till, you know, 2021, that's going to be 20 years in coaching. To be honest, I never thought Bob would do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already proved me wrong in that area, but he's always proved me right. when it comes to staying at Oklahoma. I think he'll finish his career at Oklahoma unless it's not up to him.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all of you tuning in to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. One of our favorite guests is joining us tonight. Of course, that is James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and also our good friends, our newest sponsor at SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season in SCORE. And James, while we have you on the program this evening, I do want to ask you about what are your thoughts about and examine for us just how the postseason playoff, the Final Four, do you agree with the committee's decision and how it all played out eventually?
Well, to be honest, yes. And I'm a Big 12 guy, but I can see why they didn't pick the Big 12 in this case. I disagree that, you know, Florida State was only third. Florida State, they're defending national champs. They're undefeated. But that shows you the committee says, no, we're just going to analyze this year. We don't care what happened to you last year. And they're going to look at the body of the work. And Florida State was not the most impressive elite team out there. You know, but Alabama lost a game, and they're the consensus number one. Oregon lost a game, and they didn't have their left tackle, and they're number two. And you've got Florida State, number three. And then you've got Ohio State, fourth, and this is the rub for the Big 12. You know, the Big 12 had two outstanding teams this year in Baylor and TCU. Oklahoma at TCU lost a game. They had every chance to win. They just didn't, and Oklahoma was hammered by Baylor. But they were ahead in the first half until Oklahoma threw an interception that was turned to the one that turned the tide in that game. So Oklahoma saw both those teams firsthand. You know, but what hurt here's what hurt the Big 12. Number one, Oklahoma and Texas didn't play very well this year. So that hurts the RPI, right? That hurts
right. The
prestige of the conference. Oklahoma State didn't have a great year. Oklahoma State needed a miracle upset against Oklahoma to get into a bowl game. So three of the Big 12 heavyweights didn't fire. Didn't have the year that you thought they were going to have. Then you have what most people nationally would consider upstarts, TCU and Baylor. Now, we know how good TCU and Baylor are around here, but I'm not saying they don't nationally. And then the Big 12 had to make a decision. When the Big 12 had two champions, because both had one loss, but you had the head-to-head with Baylor winning against TCU, they had a choice to go with Baylor because Baylor won the head-to-head. But instead, they said they had co-champions, and that's what they told the committee. The committee said, fine. And then Ohio State goes out and smashes Wisconsin. Nobody saw that coming. They did it with a third-team quarterback throwing three long bomb touchdown passes.
Incredible. Cardale Jones.
Absolutely.
James, Happy New Year, and we look forward to talking to you some more and getting up close in 2015. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year to you, E, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Much more straight ahead tonight as we roll on right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from all of us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And we are all cozy right here inside the Quicken Loans Studios down here in Houston, Texas. Right now, we're going to head all the way up to Lincoln, Nebraska, and check in with our good friend, our NFL, our college football analyst. That is the great Husker great, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, our very own Jason Peter. How was Christmas, Jason?
It was all right. It's always great, especially now with kids. It completely changes, your outlook.
So true.
On the holidays, and you kind of relive your childhood a little bit. On Christmas morning when you see your kids rushing down to the tree to see what old Santa brought them.
Absolutely. Well, I am just very curious in terms of, I know there's been a lot of preparation that's been taking place for the Holiday Bowl. Are you going to be going to that, by the way?
I am not.
You're not going to go to the Holiday Bowl?
No, although it should be all right. I mean, it's a matchup of two traditional powers, so I know the fan base is looking forward to it in, more than I think just one way. It's kind of, here you have this game, USC, it's kind of a opportunity for you to I think, judge yourself and see kind of where you're at on a national scale, but then also think, people are looking forward to it because it will officially be the end of the Bo Pelini era.
Yeah, it is a time of transition. Nebraska's interim coach will be Barney Cotton, and so he obviously has been prepping for the Cornhuskers. How do you ultimately see this game playing out?
From Nebraska's standpoint, I don't know what to expect. I really don't, because I think when you talk about Bo Pelini and the impact that he had on his team, from a player's perspective, he was this calm, cool, collective guy during the week, throughout practice, and never really screamed and yelled and got at guys. But on Saturday, that's when he kind of would lose it, as everybody would see. And, from my experience, the most successful coaches that I've ever had have had it reversed. Whereas, they'll get after you during the week, and on Saturday, if you make a mistake, they're there on the sideline saying, okay, this is what happened, this is what you did, this is what you need to do, this is how it fits, in the whole scheme of things. And, they're there to help you, to try to not make the same mistake over and over again. Well, with Bo, he would kind of get into some guys, probably more than was warranted. And you can't play this game at that level paranoid or constantly thinking, man, if I make a mistake, what's he going to be like when I get off the sideline? Mm-hmm. How bad is he going to yell at me this time? And as a player, you just hate that. As a coach, there are a lot of similar, I think, obstacles that these assistants were facing from a head coaching perspective. Was, they were scared maybe or hesitant at times to do certain things, to add a little flavor to some game plans, or it's just in the overall scheme of things, sometimes the guys aren't really able to do what they were hired to do in the first place. So, as far as this game, they don't have that overwhelming presence hovering over their shoulder. Is it going to be any different this time? I don't know. I imagine it will be. That could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. I just think everybody's kind of waiting to see.
I'm curious. I've never asked you this before on our show. You've been on our program for over 6 years. The player-coach relationship, obviously, it's so critical. You were talking about perhaps what just inconsistencies from practice to game day with Bo Pelini. And I know this is hindsight a bit, but, just out of curiosity, could you have ever played for Bo Pelini?
Could I ever play? I feel like I could have. That mentality, Charlie McBride was a very emotional sort of guy, but he also, kind of what I was just defining, I think, in a head coach, he had a lot of those qualities, but not, the good way that I was kind of posing that idea of what a head coach should be like. He was there. He was supportive. He was the guy that I obviously had the most contact with when I was playing Tom Osborne. It was obviously the complete opposite of that. That stuff, a coach chewing me out, getting in my face, I can't say that I definitely could have, because I never had a coach that was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never say never, but I feel like that stuff maybe doesn't bother me the way that it would today's kid. Not only would it be an issue, I think, 20 years ago, but I think now when you talk about the sensitivity in kids, I would imagine it's magnified almost 10 times, given how some of these kids you know, they don't respond well to criticism or critiquing or anything for that matter.
Hey, our NFL, our college football analyst, Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he's joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason at SCORE at score.com. One of the things, obviously, this time of transition, a whole new beginning now for the Huskers program with a new head coach, Mike Riley. Is Coach Riley, is he going to retain any of the coaches from Pelini's staff? What do you know about that?
He hasn't said anything definitive at this point. You know, there were a few jobs that he had already filled, so you kind of knew, like Barney Cotton, who will be the head coach in the game. Him as well as the offensive line coach, they were kind of a pair with Barney Cotton and John Garrison. They're both going to UNLV.
Is Ron Brown staying around?
Ron Brown, there hasn't been a decision made on Ron Brown as of yet. You know, obviously there's the defensive line position that's still open. The secondary position is still open. You know, there's receivers. There's, I think, off the top of my head, I think Mike Riley has maybe, he's got about four or five of his assistants already on board. So that would leave, you know, about four or five jobs that are still open. I'm in favor of just kind of starting over completely if you know, you're going to go with a head coach, and especially the way that kind of things ended there with Bo and kind of the
final farewell.
Yeah, I know. So I think it may be best just to kind of move on.
Hey, Jason Peter is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Bo Pelini, that final farewell well to the players, and get his thoughts, get his perspective on that. We will be right back. You stay close. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you tuning in across the country right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, always guiding you through the fastest 2 hours in radio, and absolutely always love hearing from each and every one of you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports and our amazing website at yahoosportsradio.com. You can always go back and listen to some of our incredible interviews with our outstanding guests on our podcast page. Right now, we are going under the helmet with Jason Peter, our NFL, our college football analyst. We continue to delve into the discussion about the Cornhuskers. And one of the things we have not talked a great deal about, Jason, is Bo Pelini's final farewell to the players. He certainly slammed the Huskers AD. What was your just kind of overall assessment of how he handled himself?
Yeah, it was disappointing. It really was, for a guy that is supposed to be the CEO of your company, a guy who's getting paid a lot of money. I mean, a lot of people have kind of been comparing it to a divorce. And anytime, I guess, you know, a husband and wife decide to call it quits, well, I think the one thing that they usually can agree upon is that they don't want to get the kids involved. And this is exactly what Bo Pelini did. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as he was fired, it was just a couple days later, he had organized a private meeting between him and the team. And they did it at a local high school. Thinking that, you know, whatever he said in there would have stayed in there. Well, somebody in there recorded it. And now, obviously, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard, you know, it's a disaster. I mean, he doesn't leave anybody, I think, without a few punches. You know, like you said, he went after the AD, the administration. I mean, basically everybody that he could point the finger at, he did. And it just seemed wrong to be sitting there, and there were multiple times he contradicted himself, you know, in his little speech. But, you know, he would tell the kids how they have to stay strong and they got to stay together. But then, you know, a minute later, he'd be talking about transferring, and, you know, he understands that some guys don't want to, you know, stick around and see what happens. And it was just very, very odd, you know, and it just seemed like he needed to vent his problems, you know, the problems that he felt from the administration. There was a lack of support, I guess, publicly from athletic director Sean Eichhorst, and he just couldn't work under those circumstances. And you know, he went into detail with these guys about how he went up to the AD and they had their meeting, and he told them, you know, exactly how he felt and the lack of support, and you know, how he can't do his job. And he talked about conversations he had with one of the assistant coaches, and how he told them he didn't want to die doing this job, and you know, he didn't want to have a heart attack, which gave the people who lacked faith in Bo Pelini, gave them, you know, everything they needed to hear, that he just wasn't cut out for this job, and that maybe the job was too big for him. You know, but he went on to tell the players that he's been in other places, you know, like LSU and Oklahoma, and the scrutiny and the negativity isn't like it is here, you know, in all those places. And you know, number one, I think that's a stretch. I mean, you know, we've all read and heard about, you know, fans down in LSU that, you know, have I mean, lives have been lost because, you know, they rooted, someone who lived down the street rooted for a team or school that wore different colors than the one that they loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's scrutiny everywhere. Ultimately, Nebraska has high expectations, and he, you know, they just couldn't get the job done. But, you know, it just was kind of a pity party.
It was a pity party. Let me jump in here, Jason, because yeah. I did have an opportunity to listen to it, the entire final farewell to the players, and I just thought it was so self-centered. It was all about him. It was until 6 minutes within his speech before he even talked about the kids. He seemed like he was so concerned about himself. What kind of payout did he get at Nebraska? Are you kidding? I mean, and I think you said it best. It was incredibly disappointing.
Yeah,
I would never have my son play for him.
I mean, yeah, he's
no way.
You know, $7-8 million. You know, to basically now go to Youngstown State and coach that football team.
Good luck.
Nebraska owes him a lot of money here. And, you know, I just got to imagine, you know, he talked about how miserable he was. I mean, is that the definition of misery? I mean, I don't know. You know, getting paid a lot of money to do something that you tell us you love to do, and that, you know, that everybody, all the noise that comes in from the outside, that stuff doesn't matter, that stuff doesn't bother you. I mean, this was the stuff that he said, that, you know, these were the things that made him who he was. And, you know, it just kind of all came crumbling down. But, yeah, it was odd. You know, he tried to find where there was a wound in, you know, the program itself, and he tried to make it bigger than it was. I mean, he talked about how when he fired him that the athletic director or the program didn't have a plan, you know, and how do you do anything without a plan? And I'm thinking, geez, from the sound of this, you know, this little get-together that he's having, it seemed like you didn't have a plan for what you actually wanted this meeting to accomplish, because you got up and just kind of started, you know, bumbling and bambling and everything else, and it didn't seem like there was any real objective to the meeting other than you needed somebody to kind of complain about your situation to. And it just,
he just sounded, he just came across, he sounded bitter, he sounded angry. I mean, he was definitely throwing the AD. He was talking about, you know, you can't lead under a rock. I personally thought he was just incredibly selfish. But
if it was were you, wouldn't you have said, you know, guys, I want you to do, I want you guys to succeed.
Yes.
And whoever they bring in here as coach, you know, I've been there before. And he talked about being a new guy and as a player, getting a new coach and how difficult it was. So when he mentioned that, I thought, you know what, here's the time where he's going to say, you just got to, you know, commit yourself to this next guy. Because, you know what, no matter the issues that me and the administration had, it's about you guys, and it's about winning, and it's about, you know, the brotherhood, and it's about the camaraderie and building relationships for the rest of your life that, you know, that will last forever. And you know, all of those things are what I would have hoped a coach would have done in those in that situation. But it just seemed like, you know, every once in a while he'd throw in something to make it seem like he really cares about these kids, and that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, these guys, they've gone through, a lot of them, you know, 4 or 5 years, and they just don't know any better. You know, I mean, they think that. And I don't want to say, you know, I guess one way or another, if he does truly love them, or, you know, I'm sure he does. You have these relationships as player and coach, but, you know, by how that meeting went, it seemed like this relationship was kind of one-sided.
And what was he saying about how Tom Osborne was forced out?
Well, yeah, I mean
what's the point of that?
You know, yeah, and Coach Osborne obviously was I'm sure a journalist called him up as soon as, you know, he heard that, and Coach Osborne denied it. He just said that's not true. But you know, I think when the walls start closing in on you, you get paranoid, and mm-hmm. you start thinking that, you know, this guy's saying something about me, or this guy's doing that, and this guy's doing that, and it's conspiracy theories, and you know, you're not worrying about what's on your plate. You're starting to worry about what everybody else is doing, and ultimately, you're not going to be successful like that. I mean, my father always used to said, make sure your house is in order before you start worrying about anybody else. You know, take care of your own business, and everything else will kind of fall into place. And you know, ultimately, he just, you know, their house was never in order.
Hey, Jason Peter is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So let's move ahead. I mean, what is your confidence level as we look ahead to the 2015 season? I mean, I tell you what, I just think Mike Riley is going to be a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, this, I mean, I hate to say, you know, that it takes another incident like this to get more people on board, but I think it probably did.
Hey, Jason Peter's been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always appreciate the perspective, and we look forward to the action in the bowl games and a brand new slate and hopefully a renaissance that will start taking place with your Huskers. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you, Sarah, and the girls. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Jason Peter joining us right here at YSR. We want to take time to thank all of our amazing guests, our lineup. James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider and 1400 KREF. Our producer, Andy Pondillo, and Rodney Fisher with RF Sports, rfsports.com. Remember, it's the holidays. Don't you dare drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports as we get ready to bring in the new year.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.